had to, you know, learn it. And you guys, it's easy for you to learn because you kind of play with it. You know, we had to kind of force ourselves to understand it. Are there classes or are there times when you're being taught how to use technology, modern technology, to your advantage?
Well, I think that's what Summer Bridge is for. It teaches you how to use Google Docs and everything that we use during school.
And what was it's the program you just mentioned? What's the name of it?
Summer Bridge is what freshmen do before they actually go into classes or the workplace.
Oh, really? So this is
it's like preparation.
Okay, it's like a prep, like a college prep kind of thing.
Yes, every new student at Cristo Rey, freshmen typically, but it could also be sophomores and juniors because we're now taking applications for sophomores and juniors. They have to attend a 2-week summer bridge program before school begins.
Okay,
so that's where the culture of the school is implemented, and they're actually going to be leaders.
They should be,
and that's where they learn how to collaborate together, how to work at work, mm-hmm. and also at school. So
okay, keep the mic because we have a question for you too, and just pull it up so you don't have back surgery like a year from now and blame it on us. We ain't got no money, so. So Sam has a question for you guys.
Yeah, let me. So I was curious about this because from what I understand, you get them prepped to go into the business world, now, whatever that may be. You could be an entrepreneur, you could work in an office. In other schools, in the public schools, they also have like vocational training.
Yes.
Where you can also, after a period of time and passing all the tests in school, you can also apply then for a licensure.
Yes.
Do you guys focus on that at all? Say I don't necessarily want to be in the suit and tie world. I know that I want to cut hair, for instance.
It's a little bit different in the sense that they go to work not necessarily because we want to give them the experience. It's that the Cristo Rey schools found a way to make private education affordable. Mm-hmm. So that's where the byproduct of everything else comes into play. So the objective is for them to go to college and graduate, and after that, come back into the work world, maybe to that place where they originally started, perhaps, and make a lot of money. The objective is not for them to graduate from high school and go and work at that place. Mm-hmm. So the vocational school is a little bit different. It's fantastic for those that want to see themselves that way immediately, don't want to go to college because there is nothing wrong with it. I got to tell you, not everyone wants to go to college.
Yeah, that was kind of my point.
Yeah,
we're the creative types.
Yeah, so there are people. Yeah, so there are vocational schools were a little different than that. Mm-hmm. So I think I answered the question. I'm not really.
Yeah. So the initiative is for the student who enrolls at Cristo Rey knows in the back of their mind, we're going to college.
Yes.
It's a 2-year state, private, whatever it is. They're that's what you're preparing them to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Or their goal is that way. Now, they can always change it. We're not going to deny someone. If someone comes up to me and says, Mr. Rios, you know, I really want to go to, I want to go to a vocational school, but I want to go to Cristo Rey because I know I'm going to get a Hey, look, if that person is the right fit, why not? Why deny them a fantastic education when they graduate from high school? They can go to vocational school, or maybe just while they're at Cristo Rey, maybe now they change their mind again.
So. Right. Well, to that point, then, can you state what are the key differences then what you offer versus maybe what they will have in a public school?
Well, it's college prep. It's college preparatory. So, I came all the way from public schooling, all the way since I was a kid. I graduated from a public university in Washington, D.C. So the big difference, I would say, that is that sometimes you're sandwiched in between the good and the bad. So here, the students come really... Oh, they're really motivated. They're there to learn, and they have a goal. So there isn't a lot of interruptions because of nonsense and that kind of thing. The culture of the school, too, they're surrounded by people that care about them, small classes and so on, at a beautiful place.
Oh, yes.
So...
those are the key points I want you to hit on. The small classes, they can be very important. You know, for some students, they can survive and still thrive in a large setting.
Yes.
But it's certain kids that need that smaller setting. They need that rigorous, you know, structure, our rigid structure, you know, as far as not that it's, you know, something negative, but it's just that it's so focused, you know, and it's less distraction. So that's good to hear.
I believe the kids can, I mean, they pretty much, everyone knows them, and they all know pretty much everyone at the school. school, so because no one can really hide.
Right. Before we go to your question, DT, I love this school so much, and it's like, when I was growing up, we didn't have it as advanced as, you know, Cristo Rey is. But when you were speaking about the small classrooms, that I was that type of student. And I remember going to, it was a vocational school, and it was called Global Business Institute, and it was in New York. And they had small classrooms, but I learned, I was certified in something. Yes. And, you know, I went to college twice after that. But so that's why I commend you guys so much. So this is really good, because I come from something like that, but, you know, not as advanced. We were still writing stuff on books and everything. But go ahead, DT, you had a question.
Mr. Reels,
right? Yes.
What is the process of finding these businesses that will work with these students? How is that relationship formed?
Okay, so we have a separate off department, let's call it the corporate work study department, and our director, Dr. Vaca, is the one that's actively searching for partners. So that will be if a partner is listening to this and they're interested, all they need to do is call the school, call me, and I'll be the link to Dr. Vaca, or they can directly call the corporate work study program and to learn more about what it takes to become a partner.
Right. Yeah. Which is really good. And and just name just a couple of partner companies that, you know,
there are many of them, but the ones that people will recognize immediately will be like Coca-Cola, the Amalie Arena, the Tampa Aquarium,
Tico
Energy. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys work? Why don't you just tell them where you work?
Yeah, where
do
you guys work?
I work at Ryan Companies. It's in downtown Tampa.
Downtown Tampa? Look at you, fancy, huh?
But yeah, so.
I work at Tico downtown too, in the headquarters.
All right.
Yeah, I got fancy jobs. And how old are you guys?
I'm 16.
And you, how are you?
I'm 15.
Do the school give you guys cars to drive to work?
I know, right? That is so, I love it.
So I understand that sometime in January, someone else is going to come and stop by and kind of explain more on how those relationships are formed, so that people, listeners who might have an opportunity to get involved, can be involved. Yes. That's great. One more question, Mr. Reels.
Yes.
Anybody really? I hear there's horses. You guys got horses?
Oh my gosh, the horses! That's what I always talk about.
You guys got horses that walk through the halls of school? No, that's too much.
Okay. Like pantomime horses. Yeah.
So there are about five horses. Yeah. Not only horses. So look, we have hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks. Wow.
So the students.
There's wildlife. Let's put it that way. Diverse wildlife and domestic life. Because they're also like what I would say a cat that I actually been feeding for a little bit. He's the cat that roams around the property. Wow. So there are lots of animals there. And the horse,
pig or
and the pig, the bunnies,
so what is this,
the goats.
Is a Lowry Zoo?
It's such a beautiful property. Look, there is a lake. A pond fully stocked. I believe they go fishing through the Boys and Girls Club. I think or with even our principal, Mr. Madden, has organized trips to the pond to go fish. And it's not a little pond; it's a big pond. Mm-hmm. So the property itself is beautiful. I encourage families that are interested just to come in to the school. They don't have to make an appointment or anything.
Take the tour
and bring their student with them, because we can accomplish the entire application process during that visit, and it can be as sweet as 30 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
So we're taking and we're taking 110 applicants for freshmen this upcoming year. And 10 for juniors and 10 for sophomores. That's what we're looking to accept this year.
And real quick, I just have one question for you. What are some of the questions, like the frequently asked questions you get from parents?
Okay, so parents are very interested about, in some part of the conversation, we talk about money. So, because that's important to parents. So I explain to them what I explained before, how much it costs and how affordable it is. Then the other part is the part of transportation. Mm-hmm. because parents are concerned about transportation.
Yes.
And then also, they also want to know that their child is in a safe environment.
Yes.
And that they're going to get what we said we're going to give them, an education that will prepare them and that will make them successful in college.
What is your success rate?
For the overall network, is 100%. Out of the 100%, we have about 90% that go to college. Wow. We still do not have a graduating class. We'll have a graduating class probably in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So because we started with a freshman class on purpose. That was done intentionally to establish a culture. So with the young lady here, with the gentleman here, we started that class because they're now sophomores. So now they're going to be juniors. We're now accepting the next freshman class. And a year after that, we'll have from freshmen all the way up to seniors.
Are you guys competing for any funds that come from other school systems? Is that something that you guys have to deal with I know when charter schools were introduced, it was this, they're taking in money or energy from public schools. Although it's offering a different, level of education, there's a lot of pushback. I wonder if you guys have any...
No, not at all, because the Step Up for Students, income-based scholarship is not at all directed towards public schools. So it's an income-based scholarship and it's not directed at all towards public schools. So we're not taking any money from the public system.
But if a student...
Yes.
Read... What's your name, sir?
Steven.
How student, did you forget Steven?
Listen, I got this. If another student read one of Steven's posts on social media about how great the school is, and then they wanted to come to that school after one tour, I want to go to this school.
Yes.
You will be taking students from... students can come from a public school environment and transfer over into that, right?
Yes. And what I would say is the right fit. Okay. Mm-hmm. The right fit.
So that's tricky. That sounds kind of interesting because it sounds like you're saying the right fit, meaning there's some people you will not allow. Or can't make it.
The right fit, what I mean by the right fit is a student that's motivated to study hard, to work hard, to play hard. Because we are a beautiful property. Mm-hmm. We want to have fun. They're at the age that they want to have fun, but they also need to understand that the goal here is for them to get a fantastic education, and then they have to go to work.
So how do you deal with that student that comes in and all of a sudden
The process is we just interview the student. We get to know him and his family, and then we don't have an entrance exam. We have a placement exam once they've been accepted. Mm-hmm. We don't even have an entrance exam. So we base it on our interaction with the family and with the student. And we're looking at their grades, their behavior. We do understand that students, teenagers make mistakes at school. We look at them. I make mistakes at school, so we look at them.
I still make mistakes.
So we want to help them. So the process itself is very, is very unique for every individual. But again, we want to find the right fit because we don't want to waste their time, nor do we want them to waste our time.
Yeah. Which is a great concept. Yeah. I think it's fabulous because, again, this is for the longevity of their life. This is a lifestyle that you're now creating, and you need that to have the right attitude and that whole thing, in regards to this. So tell me about Welcome Wednesday. What is that? What's going on with that?
Welcome Wednesday, we started that this year. It's for any families that's interested in Cristo Rey. They can pretty much come any Wednesday. They can make an appointment if they like, but they don't have to. They can just drive into the property. They come in, and they can receive the tour. They can do the applications process if they want. Their student can also participate in a class shadowing, let's call it, the traditional shadow, from an hour to as long as they want for that day. And the hope is to give the family more information in case they're not fully convinced. So the hope is for them to participate, get all of the information, do all of it if they want to, or come back at another time now that they're fully informed.
Okay. So, give us the phone number and website address so everyone can get information.
We're going to post it on our Facebook page so that if people are watching or listening, they can have that access to that contact information.
The phone number is 813-621-8300. 813-621-8300. And the website is www.cristoreytampa.org.
And you were saying that that's slow, so Lo can type it. Is that
yes?
Okay. You were making me nervous. I just wanted to make sure I had your back.
I'm having a stroke. Or something.
I'm like, is he okay, Cynthia? Is he okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I mean, you guys, I love these students because they're so sharp and so on point, and you're so poised, and your vocabulary is like, I think DT learned a few extra words here today. So I thank you for that. You know?
Thank you.
So thank you so much. And before we head out, I need to Cynthia to get on the mic real quick, because Cynthia is someone that I've been working with for quite some time. And I like to kind of give credit when credit is due a lot of times, because sometimes, you know, granted, we don't know what goes on in the background, but this is a hardworking woman. Can you say hello to everyone for me, Cynthia?
Hello, everyone.
This woman, anytime I say, you know, what are the students doing, or can we get them here, and can we do this? Her and I, we're always connected, and she's on it. So this woman, I wanted to just say thank you, because these students and all of what you all are doing would not be able to do it if they didn't have individuals like you.
Well, thank you very much. But all the... There's a big team behind
you.
Yes. We love your support as well. We have to get the word out.
So yes. Cynthia, who, in case we're trying to look her up because she's such a great person, we didn't get a full introduction. Who is she and what she do?
Go ahead, Cynthia.
I'm Cynthia Spano. I'm the Director of Advancement and PR for the school.
And I've known Cynthia for a while. I actually sold her cars, her Lexus vehicles back in the day. So.
And mine's still running. 14 years strong.
So thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Mr. Rios. Thank you, guys, the students, Krista Ray. Love you guys. So we have all that information. And, you know, you guys will be back. So, you know, and we'll take a quick break, and then we'll go to our caller, and we'll check Facebook and try and get the Raw going as well. Okay? Sounds good? All right. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, the Urban Cafe.
Let's go.
You know, you have those people who you are friends with. You're only getting information from them that's business related, especially those that are business owners or radio hosts or different things like that. And you want to get information from them, and you want to send them information. Also, exchanging information, just particularly, you know, business stuff. Say you have a professional friendship with the opposite sex. That's very controversial with that. I have a lot of different professional relationships that are only professional. There's no friendship. We cool. But we're just exchanging information, right. You know, and you know, some people will try to cross that line, mm-hmm. But you got to be careful about that. When you first meet someone, the first impression, you want to definitely do that. You want to stay professional. You want to always have your business cards with you. Shake a person's hand very firmly, things like that. Following up is very important. Give out thank you cards. You know, if somebody comes to your networking event, you want to make sure you acknowledge those people.
WMNF. Because there's a lot of you ladies who work in the evenings and walk from their building to their cars.
Exactly.
Or leaving a grocery store and trying to make it way. And you want to make sure you're not a victim to some of the predators that are lurking these streets. So you want to either have something to protect yourself, or you at least want to know what techniques to use.
Lockdown Brown.
That's right.
Right. He came in and he has vast experience with the military and law enforcement and martial arts. I have taken this course. I took a 4-week course. I went twice a week. And you'll be instructed, men or women, as far as by a Marine Corps instructor to hold a Marine Corps black belt. So you're in good hands. Thank you, Christopher Brown, Lockdown Brown Executive. Yes, he was a past guest. So again, so going towards that martial arts skill training, concealed weapon training is what he does. LockdownExecutives.com.
For tuning back.
Welcome back. We gotta do that again, Joe. No.
One more time.
No. The girl bumped in.
Welcome back.
Wait, did you just get DT's face? He like really went into like.
I was really trying to hit the note.
New edition like mode.
I think every time they interrupt, we should get a chance to play it again.
I so agree.
I don't agree.
Joe.
See, when you
hit it, maestro.
Welcome back. Now she don't know how to stop it. See? Don't give her no new toys.
Welcome to the midnight hour on the Urban Cafe.
But all thank you guys again for tuning back in to the Urban Cafe WMNF. So we have a quick call real quick. So let's go to our caller. Good morning. Good morning. You're listening to the Urban Cafe.
Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Good morning.
Hi, Ms. how are
G.
you?
Miss G.
I'm going to sing every time.
Every time she hears us sing, she wants to call.
But it's the crystal way for that.
You're breaking up a little bit, Miss G. Say that again.
Is the crystal ray people still there?
They just stepped out of the studio.
They're in the lobby.
Oh, okay. I had some questions, but I was hoping y'all didn't go on break before they left. But I wanted to know about the transportation of the children, if they're still listening. How do the kids get to school? And with they mentioned that the companies sponsor part of their tuition. And I just wanted to know, not talking about dollar figures, but do the rest come out of pocket of the parents? And then I wanted to know about the curriculum.
Ms. G, I just brought Mr. Rios back in, so he did not hear your question. I'm going to give him some headphones, and I'll let you ask him the question and let him answer it. He's in the studio back again.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. G.
Okay, hi. My questions were, you mentioned that transportation, in reference to transportation, how do the kids get to your school? And when you say that they kids who can't afford the private, facilities and so forth, and you're not using the public school resources, how do they get to school? And the second question is that you mentioned the corporations sponsor the tuition of the students, partial curriculum of students. And do the parents have to come out of pocket for the other half? And then the third question was with talking about curriculum credits on graduating from your facility. What is the number of credits do they have to earn in the breakdown?
Okay, so regarding transportation, we guarantee transportation to and from school to their job site. So we take them there, we bring them back. Transportation from home to school and school to home, officially we need to say that we do have buses. So we have 3 buses and what we'll say a van. However, at this moment, they're full. And so transportation to and from home, it's on a space available basis. The hope is that we will get more buses, we will get more drivers, and we will be able to guarantee that part. Regarding the tuition, so every student that gets accepted to Cristo Rey is guaranteed already a job placement. So the student is not looking for the corporation where they're going to be working. And that corporation has already signed a contract with Cristo Rey, so that money will be allocated to the student's tuition. Cristo Rey also does fundraising, just like any private institution. So that money is raised and distributed, the wealth is distributed among all the applicants that have been accepted and are coming to Cristo Rey. And then the other part of it is the Step Up for Students income-based scholarship. And the family has 3 choices how to pay that. They can pay $650 and then they don't have to worry for the whole year. Make 2 payments or pay in installments of $65.
And then the credit.
The credits. So we would have to look at the. Is your student at already in high school?
No, it's not for me. But I'm.
Yeah. So we would if it's a transfer student, we'd have to look at the transcripts. And then we will decide how many credits the student needs in order to graduate. So it all depends what classes the student has taken, if it's a transfer student. If it's not
So you refer to their record from the public school?
Right, exactly, because we need to see their transcripts. We need to see, we asked for 2 teacher recommendations, 1 for the English teacher, 1 for the math teacher, and then we want to see the transcripts. Yes.
Okay, now the last question, behavior. I know you said that y'all get the right fit and so forth, but I know children have some missteps. How do you deal with that?
Okay, so regarding behavior, the transcripts, with the interview, the transcripts, meeting the family, we look at the trajectory of the student. That's where the transcripts come from, because we asked for at least 2 years of the transcripts. And Cristo Rey is not a reform school. It's a school that for highly motivated students. Now, having said that, we take students that have a C point average, which is a 2.0 GPA, because we know that every student is different as long as they have that grit. If they have the grit, I was a C student, by the way.
I like grit.
I could, because things just came easy for me, so I just did enough to pass my classes. Mm-hmm. Had I been to a Cristo Rey school, I would have got better grades, because I would have been highly pushed by my teachers to do even better. So we're looking for students that have grit, that have motivation to go to college and to go to work, because they understand that they need to go to work because that company will help their parents pay for the tuition.
Love it. Great questions, Ms. G. All 12 of them. They were great. We love it.
Ms. G had her pen and paper.
I know, right? She was ready. I love it.
Other callers, take note.
Yes.
How you do it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys again. All right. But again, I mean, Cristo Rey. Hey,
I love Ms. G. She's on it.
We need to have a best caller award.
Ms. G would get that, hands down. So we're going to go into our favorite game. Sam, go ahead. You go.
All right. So if you guys are tuning in late, shame on you, but we're going to give you a heads up. So Raw is our random, Raw, R-A-W.
Yes, that's
you've been naughty. You've been naughty. Anyway, random access wheel. All right, so it looks like a pinwheel. It's the one you spin on, I don't know, game shows and in the casinos and stuff like that. And each color is coordinated with particular topics that relate to sound bites. So the idea is that each member... Oh, you can hear that again.
Yeah.
There we go. That's the sound of money. Or the sound of a controversial topic.
Yes, that's more like it, because it had a little limp to it.
So the idea is that each one of us is going to spin that. We're going to play a clip. And, of course, we're going to try to, whoever's listening to it, or whoever's turn it is to spin the wheel, is going to have to argue a counter to whatever has been played. We're not necessarily endorsing the counter argument, but this is to get a little more
it's
of a
fun.
Discussion going, right?
Yeah,
so. And so if you're responding via telephone, let us know which topic you are referring to.
We have no screeners, so we can't really.
Well, we have Jim.
But when you call and you tell us who you are, where you're from, tell us what you're going to be talking about.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. And
yes.
same thing on Facebook, if y'all would.
Yeah, so we're going to have Lo. She's going to be the first spinner.
Drum roll, please.
Do we have one of those things? There you go. All right.
I'm
going to
make sure DT don't.
Here we go.
Da, 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 da. And the spin. And it's going.
Come on.
And it's going.
I'm with a trip to Paris.
Mo money.
And Lo lands on a red, simplistic arguments. We're going to take a clip. We're going to take a listen to a clip about simplistic arguments and have a discussion on the other side.
There's always these simplistic arguments. Like when I hear people go, well, you black people say nigga, and so we say it. You say it in hip-hop culture all the time. Nigga's been the American lexicon since the early 1600s. Hip-hop been around since 1973. What came first, nigga or the Sugar Hill Gang? Mark Twain or Grandmaster Flash? Instead of, we make these nonsensical arguments. And to me, it's a bunch of angry white people. If you're broke and white in America, you have wasted your whiteness. You should put it on eBay and sell it to some niggas that could use it. How did you blow a 400-year head start? That's what I don't understand.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, his.
So if you want to give us a call, the
813-239-9663. I thought I'd help you out with
that. Thank you.
So can somebody condense that? What was he? Well, I don't get exactly what he was talking about.
All right, you want to play it again?
No, I mean, DT.
What did you take away from this?
Okay, so
I think it's pretty much, which one would you say, like he stated, you know, the N-word or the Sugar Hill Gang, which one came first? And it's like, you know, depending on which came first, does it really matter? Because, you know, depending on, I guess, the entry of it.
Right. So when you think about, you know, the word nigger. Mm-hmm. And if you really do the research, you realize there's actually a place in Africa, I think Egypt, Africa area, called, and it's N-A-G-A-S, Negus, Negus. Mm-hmm. And it's an area, and it's a group of people. But because of Europeans couldn't say the word correctly, they turned it into Negus, or Niggers. And so then they used it in a derogatory term in order to kind of persecute people who they brought over. And it kind of developed from there. But there seems to be a generational argument about the use of the word, who can use it, when it can be used, right. If it's a negative word or a positive word. Older generation, people who are connected with this situation of how it was used against people who were enslaved, can't stand the word, don't like the word, and will not accept the fact that anyone can take this word and use it. And then you have a younger generation who have taken this term and use it as kind of a term of endearment, and they use it in a very, you know, freestyle fashion. But then there's always that moment where, okay, who can say it and who can't say it.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so if a black person said it, it can be used as a word of endearment. But if a white person says it to a black person, mm-hmm. then it's war.
Yeah. Right.
And so the argument is that's a simplistic argument because, you know, you look at the history of this word and, mm-hmm. and you want to argue whether you can use it or not. So I guess it's kind of, you know, where do you fit in that?
Double-edged sword kind of.
I'm going to have a hard time arguing against that. But can I say one thing?
Well, let's go to our caller real quick because after our callers, because I want to try and get them involved as well. Right, so let's go to our first caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Izzy. I'm in Tampa. How are you?
Izzy!
Hey, Izzy!
Izzy!
Izzy! Izzy!
No.
Listen,
is he there?
Yeah, I am. Is he here or is he not? But let me tell you something. And to answer your question about why the guy had the 400-year head start, which I believe is a great, great thing that you said, it's because they're lazy. White or not, it's laziness. That's all it is. They don't want to do it. That's all.
They don't want to do it, so they'd rather get someone else to do it for them.
Right.
Okay, Izzy.
I don't care what color they are. If you have an opportunity to be educated because of the system and because white and black and there's prejudices, if you have an opportunity and you have a head start, like you said, it's because they're lazy. Lazy bastard.
I like Izzy.
Well, thank you, Izzy. Last time I called somebody lazy, they got me. I got in trouble.
What I have a tough time with is I don't understand the brotherhood of the N-word, using it or not using it. I don't get it that they can say it with their own kind and you can't say it if you're white. Of course, white people don't go around saying, hey, whitey, how's it going? We don't do that. It's not our thing. But I don't get if it's in a gesture of friendship, why I can't say the word nigga. I don't know. Whether there's an R at the end or an A at the end, it doesn't make sense to me. So I think we say brother as a comparable. It's okay to either one, white or black. I use the word brother, white or black. That means just a fellow guy to me, you know?
Okay, Izzy, I like it.
Two things as far as both points that he made. As far as right, I don't hear white people going around saying "whitey" or "cracker." But in regards to me, I like the fact that the word "nigger" is becoming diluted. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like it takes away the power from it.
Right.
When it does come from any race, you know, whether it's the black race and any other race that is meaning in a derogatory manner or way. The other part of that comment, as far as the tail end of D.L. Hughley's comment in regards to the 400 years, if you're broken, you're white, you know, you basically misuse that white privilege. I'm going to argue for that.
Because and put it on eBay. I thought that was great.
Yeah, you should put it on eBay because you're lazy.
It's a funny comment, but I think there's an argument that can be made and it has a basis in itself, and Izzy, you hit on it as far as, you know, the fact that, hey, you know, why haven't you surpassed or you know you have an inherent advantage.
Right.
Me as a black woman.
Absolutely.
Right.
There's an opportunity there that is just not taken. It's a sad situation, but there is an opportunity that most people are not taking, and that's just the way it is. And I agree with you 100%, you know? I mean, I just think it's a wasted opportunity. And even though the white people may have had that opportunity, I agree 1,000% that they have wasted their ass on not doing shit for it.
All right. Listen, Izzy, you can call back anytime.
Well, you know,
I love it.
I do the morning soul show up at M&F, and I love playing that music, white or black. And I sometimes even have a fear of saying, this is a white guy who sings so well. But I have to be careful and say, this is just a great guy who's a great singer, because you don't want to misrepresent something that some people might think is a prejudice.
Right, right.
Thank you so much, Izzy.
Izzy, this is your first time calling our show.
Yes.
I listen to you all the time. I'm up early, but I just thought this was one that hit me hard, and I'm thinking, when can you use the word? Anyway, the N-word has been diluted so much. It's been such a tarnished word that I don't think it's ever going to have in my lifetime. I don't think there will become any good of that word anyway. I don't see somebody using it as a friendly word in at least in the next 50 years. I don't see it becoming equal to the word brother. I think it's still a tarnished word that will have a difficult time becoming friendly as it is between blacks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I definitely get it. And Izzy, you on point. We love it. So thank you so much for listening.
If you want mine, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
All right. I want you to call back and, you know, next week.
Oh.
You know, and I want you to speak on the topic. We're going to be discussing sexual assault and harassment. So I would love to have your point of view, you know, whether you're going against or, you know, for any of the people on this crew. We just would love to have your honest approach to it.
Well, you are welcome to it. I will talk to you next week. And ladies and gentlemen, have a great rest of the show. I enjoy listening.
Hey, Izzy, real quick. Weekend. When can we hear you? When are you filling in again? When are you
on the morning soul show, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. every Saturday morning with either Ricky or by myself.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Wow.
The Red Eye Drive.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. That's good. So go ahead, Sam.
So okay. So I've held my peace now, but I got to chime into this a little bit.
Okay.
So there are all different. So there are social and cultural reasons for using particulars, and one of them is taking the power back. Mm-hmm. So. I'm not sure what the seven deadly words are on air, so I'm going to call it the female dog. Mm-hmm. So if women are doing
that,
the B word. All right. So they're talking amongst themselves. Women are talking amongst themselves, mm-hmm. and they're calling one another the B word. That doesn't give me license to join in and start calling the B word. That's
right.
One.
Great point.
Two, the using the N word.
Mm-hmm.
That the power has been taken back. So when there's a group of people, a group of African-Americans or whatever tint you might be, and you've identified with that, and you're using that as, you've taken the power back. I don't get to do that. You, other people who are not white and do not get to start talking about trailer trash and white trash.
Good
you
point.
Don't. That's mine. Queer and fag, that has been taken back.
Yeah.
I don't get a chance to use it. If you're in the LGBTQ community, go right ahead. You've taken that power.
Right.
There are certain cultural and social norms that you just don't break. And we know this. We know this. So this whole fight about, I need to say the N-word because
So what do you think you hear black people using the N-word amongst each other? What's your raw feeling, being a white guy, hearing that from a distance? How do you feel? What's the first thing come to your mind?
Nasty. It's a horrible, ugly, filthy, vulgar, profane word. And it has all this horrible baggage and cultural stuff to it. And I don't, for the life of me, understand why you want to use that.
Right.
Because
I think
there are people, I'm red teaming here. I think that you talk about taking the power back. Taking that power back means it doesn't hurt anymore.
Right.
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 So if I can use this word in a way that it doesn't hurt and actually it helps me bond with a person or connect with a person, that's kind of the theory.
Sure.
Yeah, take the power back. It's no longer a negative word. I can use it as a positive as opposed to a negative when I'm using it to someone who I have, you know, feelings for or affection to or a friend or a comrade or a buddy. But not everybody's going to understand that.
Yeah.
No,
This is good stuff. One more thing I got to get.
I've been quiet.
Well, go.
I'm here.
We got a few more
speeds. So, let's talk to that 400 years of privilege, right? I buy into that. One of the things that we tend to forget, there are two people. One that's very important, where my folks are from, is the Appalachian people. They have been just trodden on. They've one of the still the poorest educated, poor health, poor economic resources, and they still are. And these large corporations came in the early 1900s and 1880 until about 1920, 1930, and just destroyed the coal mines. They stripped all of the trees. These people are poor, and they still poor. They have not been given a leg up, right? I'm not disputing the fact that they feel, and certainly during the 1920s, had that sense of entitlement.
Right.
Oh, well, we're poor, but at least we're not black. I get that, but that was the government, and the powers that be were getting to feel that. But these people are forgotten people.
Right.
And just because they're white doesn't mean they were getting a leg up at all. And sorry.
So not everybody who has who's not rich and white is not lazy. Some of them have been a victim of circumstance.
Right on.
Same way they say about black people. Black people lazy. Well, some black people are born into a situation that is harder for them to rise through because of where they're born, who they're born to, and the conditions they came into this world
and
into.
What
Let's go to our caller.
What I will say as a black woman, I am double taxed, and I already have two strikes against me. So yes, it does speak to that.
Well, you better make sure you.
We're gonna take that back though, so we're not worried about that. Okay, let's go to our caller. Good morning. Where are you calling from and your name?
Hi, this is Ms. G.
Hi, Ms. G. You got your 14th question ready?
Yes, I do. and what I want to say is about the N-word. That's why I love him. And he be on point every time he speak up in his rant. But what I want to say is, as a black woman, I don't buy the argument that young people have changed the meaning that taken diluted the N-word and have taken it back. As a black woman, I would never allow anyone to call me the B-word nor the N-word because neither one is befitting for self-respect of anyone. And we should not dilute our thinking into thinking that it's okay, because it never was okay, and it does not apply to God's greatest creation, and that's him. Thank you so much,
Ms. G. Let's go to Facebook real quick.
Yeah. We have Jeff Haynes on here. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff.
He says that in response to the caller, as an educated poor white guy, I'm submitting how personal circumstances can completely override any lack of lazy. It's simply not that simplistic.
Okay.
All right.
So Jeff, we have one more caller. Let's go to our next caller again. Good morning. Your name and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Levi on the Folk Plantation.
Hey, Levi.
Thank you. Just that discussion, just quick input. Like, I think the last caller was pretty much making the point. It's just negative all the way around. And artists that use that kind of terminology are really sending a wrong message. It's just like calling someone a dog, you know? You hear that a lot. You know dogs? So, like, it's really bringing down the community. People like Jay-Z, Nas, and them, they just, you know, you got what I'm curious about is where do these words originate? You know, because I think a lot of it comes from the intelligence, like MI6. Might sound, you know, conspiratorial or whatever, but the English language is very complicated and it changes every year. And these words are introduced into the community for a reason, I believe. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Levi.
Real quick, I would love to explain where the word comes from, but I can't do it as well as Jeff can. So, Tammy, if you're watching, and they're probably not, they're probably at an event. If Jeff is listening or watching, I would love for you to call in and chime in because he's done the research. He was turning me on to research. I'm just not good enough to explain it, but he sent me a video that explains where the word niggas comes from, and I'm even having a hard
time. That's part of it. I think it's also because I can speak Dutch too, and so the Dutch were part of the triangle, right?
Right.
And so they also have the word for black, this neger, right, which is Negro, right, and that's sort of taken from the Niger area. But they also have a bastardization of that word that it is meant to be demeaning and put the black man in his place, right? So it doesn't.
Right.
It's not necessarily just English. It's all these colonial powers.
Have
a term.
Yes.
So
yes. That's true. Okay, we have another caller. Good morning. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Good morning, Long. Good morning, man. Anytime I hear Miss G, I just get humble. You know?
And your name?
My name's Jarell. How y'all doing?
Hi, Jarell.
Good.
Forgive me. I'm watching my granddaughter in the background. So if you hear some noise, I make my humblest apologies.
But, it's okay.
You know, what's interesting about all this talk is unfortunately, you get white and Hispanic kids that say the N-word in an abbreviated form, a nickname form. I like to say the homeboy, the homie, and they think that's okay. And they don't mean no harm. So, you know, you got to differentiate that between somebody saying, you know, the N-word in a hateful manner. You know, so it's just, I've had a talk with a couple of Spanish and white kids, and I said, listen, guys, you know, I know you don't think you're doing nothing wrong, but that's not a word that should be used and appropriate unless you're reading it from a history book or something like that. You know, so, I mean, I just find it interesting to me that, you know, the other cultures have used it and they think it's okay. And I don't know. I'm like, Ms. G, I got a problem with that. So that's all I want to say. Honey, whoever was, and forgive me, y'all name, but whoever said, you know, I got two strikes against me, I just say, you know, listen, try not to get the ball behind yourself. Try to make yourself the victim unless the situation arises of itself. And I'm just saying, don't put yourself in that position. Sometimes I feel that as black folks, we walk in with a little chip on our shoulder. I ain't saying you're doing that. I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear all the context of it. I'm just saying, don't make yourself a victim before the situation arises, unless something happens. That's all I got to say.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you so much
point.
For your comment. And go I just ahead, want to respond after that. That no, I am a person that will definitely look for, you know, the positivity in any situation that I may go through. But it is certainly my experience. That is the experience. You know, I feel that, you know, most black women will be able to identify with. So I've definitely, you know, excelled, you know, in the face of diversity. So I appreciate your comments. So I know where you're coming from.
Yes, thank all you right. so much. So let's go for another again. Spill.
All right, come on, Mo.
How am I doing again?
No, we gotta go. No,
she just did.
No, Sam has to go.
Oh, Sam, she'll turn. Come spin that wheel, Sam.
Can I just spin the music?
Yeah, is that a good spin? I don't know. I don't know spin side. I mean, there you go. Get your spin on. Isn't that a song?
No.
No. Okay.
Sam landed on white, of course. And the clip is, what are you mad at?
Right,
let's take a listen to this
mad
clip
for?
And talk on the other side.
That's
but if
good.
We really want to get down to it, if you actually read the U.S. flag code, holding a flag horizontally, laying down, is listed as disrespect. Not standing for the anthem is not. Wearing any type of flag clothing is listed as disrespect. Not standing for the anthem is not. But we have perverted the discussion into an easy one to get to one of America's favorite old hobby horses, which is why aren't those black folks more grateful for what they got? And that's what we saw Friday night, and that's what the NFL responded to, and I agree with you, Chris. I was surprised how strong the owners came out, some with somewhat weak messages, but a lot of these owners gave the president $1 million or more.
Yes.
And they came out and said, you can't curse our players. And then as an aside, be like, and you know what? The other thing that's wrong with football, not dangerous enough. Like that, I mean, that's being thrown aside, but that was part of it as well. And so, yeah, the NFL did a good job. I just wish people remembered what this was about.
Wow, that's pretty
people
good. So what are you mad
angry
at?
About the protests.
That's not it though.
So, Sam.
So, yeah. What you mad at?
What you mad at?
What you mad at? What you mad for?
I can't go red on this. I'm trying. It's hard.
No, right, so then go
you
green.
You go, I'll go red.
Well, so
hopping mad.
So my thing is like, everyone's pivoting now, right? It they can't figure out. No, here the bigger question is, what is the difference between nationalism, nativism, and patriotism? And so we've muddled this conversation. Now, I see nationalism as close to nativism, and you've got to love the country no matter what, and there's a script for it, and there's a 10-page list, and if you check all those boxes, then you are a good citizen and patriotic. Well, they ain't the same. Patriotic is understanding that the country that you are in has, that you love it because there are opportunities and we are striving. We aren't there yet, but we are striving to get to the most perfect that we can possibly achieve based on the Constitution. And part of the Constitution allows us to protest. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, well, it's on somebody else's. You're at work. You can't protest at work. Nobody else can protest at work. That's kind of true. But they're not, you maybe don't protesting at work, but you can probably put some things up on your Instagram account or your Facebook account or something like that. So that whole idea, it's been hijacked by these hyper-nationalist, nativists, super pure American, 100% Americans, that they really don't understand. And the funny thing is, that's so fascist, it's so fascist to say, well, this is the only way you can be patriotic, is if you adhere by what we say. And that's not what the Constitution says. And so I hate the idea that they've hijacked that from us.
Okay. Right. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so let's go to our caller real quick, and then I'll go to you, DT. Good morning. Good morning. And your name and you're calling from?
I'm Fake Charlie the Plumber.
Okay. All right, DT, so another you have a response?
No, that's it. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's what would be the other side of that argument that I've heard is that the NFL owners were upset at the negative feedback they were getting from the protest, especially coming from a guy that they pay to play. Of course you have the right to protest. And I think if I was an owner of a team and I was in that position and I was paying you millions of dollars to play football, I would assume that you're here to do that job for me. But when you start doing something else that creates a different narrative, and then I have an issue. It would be much like me getting on these airwaves and talking bad about something here at WMNF or staff or leadership. So if I did that, then would I expect, you know, leadership to come and try to remove me from the air or mute me? Of course. It's like if you guys on the Urban Cafe got on air and was saying something very negative about me. Would I just accept that I allowed you to be on my show and you come on my show and talk bad about me on my show and I'm not supposed to do anything because you have the right to express yourself? No, I gave you that opportunity to be heard. You're on my platform. I'm the one who says who can be on with during this hour with me. So if I don't like you, and Sam, it's getting real close. No, I'm just kidding.
What you mad at?
So that would be the other side of the argument, is that these NFL players, and to some extent, they've seen probably a diminish in returns when it comes to this protest and all the negative attention it brought their brand. And so I think that's where that's the opposite side of it,
argument. Right. So, well, I mean, the other, and I see your point, and there's a valid argument in that you're being paid to do something, you're not being paid to. So, but, you know, the other thing that they could do is strike. They go, really? You're not listening to us? There are enough of us, and maybe they'll get scabs in there and take over. But that's the other thing. You know, I won't play.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, you know, what are you mad at is basically like, are you educating yourself? Like, this is my
shit.
Well,
that whole flag
thing.
That whole flag thing was kind of a sidestep to the real issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was a way to hijack the conversation, mm-hmm, and make it about something else so that people would come in and get behind it, right, and push back on the protesters. And so it's a typical divide and conquer. You know, we all know how that is. You divide the people and then you can conquer one side or the other. All right. We only got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, so we're going to go to this caller real quick and then we're going to
wrap it up.
Say goodbye. Let's go to that caller. Good morning. And your name and you're calling from?
Hi, guys. It's me again.
You know what, Miss G? You might as well just come here and just get a seat.
Miss G, you need to come in and be part of the team.
Well, let's make this quick, Miss G, because we're at the top of the hour, so we got to go, baby.
Let me say this. They pick and choose what they want to say is negative towards their money that they receiving from the back of these players. Because when it came to concussions, they kept their mouth closed for years and years and years. And these players are the one, and families are the one that suffered from the neglect of them not addressing the concussion of these players in this violent sport. And then when it comes to, they uphold breast cancer and other things in society. But then when it comes to the violence of their domestic violence of their players and so forth, they're going to take a mediocre stand. So they pick and choose on what they want to stand for and what's going to affect their bottom line dollar.
Okay, Miss G, we have to go. We appreciate you calling in. We definitely do. But we at the top of the hour, so we have to say goodbye. But thank you again. And thank you to all the callers. Everlasting, Irene, Izzy and Levi, Miss G, of course, and thank you for listening to WNMF, the Urban Cafe. We appreciate you. We love you, adore you. Please tune in again next week, WMNF Tampa. We're going to talk about
what are we talking about next week?
We're going to be discussing sexual assault next week. So definitely come to stay tuned next week.